This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Does picking an outfit have you running a little too fashionably late? We get it. Great taste takes time. That's why Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery, has your back with the largest selection of beer, wine, and spirits delivered in under 60 minutes. Convenience never goes out of style. So if you need to spend some extra time in the mirror instead of at the store, download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
We're not that bad. Yo, mad. Cavs or Mavs, shit, even the Jazz, yo, at least we're not the Suns, fuck the Pelicans, yo, they gave us Buddy Hield and took away the best damn player that we have ever had, yo, we're not that bad at making trades, really young players might be great someday, and I just really hope that we get better soon, getting blown out by the Hawks makes me really want to move, we're not that bad, yo, we're just different, cause we like to pass on Clay for Jimmer, damn, yo, we're not that bad, we're just different. We took Robinson and Stella Lillard. Fuck.
You're listening to the Cobras on Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek Podcast Network. Officially the world's tallest podcast, hosted by Luz Cannon and Baco.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined, as always, by the comprehensive Luz Cannon. How are you this evening?
I am excellent. I'm not experiencing any technical difficulties so far, so things are going well.
Yeah, all right.
How's things on your end?
So far, so good. I'm expecting a power outage in about the next 10 minutes, so something's got to fuck up tonight, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
It's got to be on my end this time.
Yes.
Why don't we let's explain a little bit. You were out in Indiana when we recorded, and we had friend of show Rob on. And apparently, when you go to Indiana, you forget how computers work.
How microphones work, and I get way too excited. I drink too many beers before the podcast because I was calling you from the future there versus behind. So that was part of the difficulties.
And now I'm from the future. I'm more used to being from the future, but I can handle the past.
Yeah. So how was the last hour in the world?
Oh, it was a little brisk. We're not getting a lot of sun out here in Minnesota. It's kind of down. I'm thinking about committing suicide.
Okay. And this concludes the weather and depression portion of the show.
Yeah. Hey, we're wrapping up the year. What are you wearing? 2018 was supposed to be the year in fashion. What do you got? Let's go out in style.
Sure. Well, it is cold as balls in my basement right now. And I am wearing a zip-up hoodie, jeans from work, since work is not a generally casual environment, and a pair of, I call them athletic leisure shoes, in between. Half dressy, half athletic. What about you?
I think I have a pair of those. I am wearing jeans from work still, too, but I'm more in a production environment, so I'm encouraged to wear rugged pants. You get ink on them, you snag them on metal, stuff like that. I am wearing black socks and Nike flip-flops. Not a normal look that I would rock out in the public, but I'm at home, and it's kind of cold in the basement, so I didn't want to go without socks, and I don't want to put shoes on.
Yeah, it's good that they have safety at work, because jeans, what they do is they give you an extra millisecond when you have something sharp before you just cut your leg off. That's good.
For me, it's more about the cost and how dirty they get. Just walking through the fucking place. But the creme de la creme, the second time I have ever rocked this baby is my Justin Bieber t-shirt.
I do remember seeing that.
Yeah. I wore it to Wilson's wedding, and now I'm wearing it recording tonight. Yes, 2018, year in fashion.
Yes, and well, let's get down to it, but I do have to say that, we got to get with it, but I think that 2019 is going to be more professional already. We're wearing proper pants. We're not freeballing. I mean, this is definitely next level, like this year has been overall. So what do you want to talk about today, Baco?
Well, we're just going to kind of wrap up, what do you want to call it? Like the best of the rest. Cause the next step we're going to get into, a tease here, people, the Cobras and Fire official top five albums of the year. But today we're going to kind of talk about other bands that we like, don't like, songs that kind of piqued interest in us, albums that, disappointed us, that kind of stuff. Basically a 2018 wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, I think this episode could be, instead of the top five, we're just calling this, not that bad.
I like it, Luce. I like it. Let's go with it. Why don't we get into some music, since we're going to go a little music heavy on this episode with a band that we both saw in Northern Invasion with a name that has one word that I know you're in love with, and that's Stone. And this is the Blue Stones.
Fun fact, people, that band has two people in it. I did not know that going in. You're a big fan of the two-person band, aren't you, Baco?
I love both people in all two-person bands.
So how would you rate Meg White in the White Stripes as a drummer?
She is definitely their best drummer when she's playing and nobody else is. Don't you think Jack White can probably actually play drums better than her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my 2-year-old son could. I don't have a 2-year-old son. So that's
I think her drumming is more disappointing than her porn.
She in porn?
Yeah, there's some like sex tape out there.
Oh, that's pretty gross. I gotta write that down. Interesting. With Jack White?
No.
Okay. All right, Baco, is I know you enjoy the holiday season. You love that term, happy holidays versus Christmas.
I insist on saying it.
And what's your reasoning around it again?
I don't have a reason. Okay. I think it makes people mad.
Then do you show them a picture of your upside down tree?
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, someone says I'm a Satanist and calls my wife stupid or something. I don't know.
Good at social engagements. And by the way, do you also have your Yuletide log already?
No, our Yuletide log is Darth Vader burning at the end of Star Wars Return of the Jedi.
Ooh, good. Fresh movie reference as usual.
Look it up on YouTube, people.
Okay.
3 hours of Darth Vader burning.
Seriously? It's just in a loop? You just put it on your TV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we just play some Christmas music to it or something. It's brilliant.
You have a hell of a Christmas here in your house. Anyway.
Yes. Well, and yesterday was Krampus. So did you have a good Krampus? Is the right question. But
I missed it. I'm going to watch that movie this year, though. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, well, I know you you always have good luck getting trees. Last year, you lost a limb.
Yes, I call the problem that I have, like many things in my life, the curse of. And this is the curse of the trees.
Okay.
Would you like me to elaborate?
Yeah, well, I remember you had some issues last year.
I did. So every year we do the whole Clark Griswold thing. We go into a forest up in Copper Mountain area. And basically, you know, you cut down the tree, you put it in the back, but last year the tree never got back home because the car didn't get off first gear. We slid down a hill, car got towed, we had to stay overnight. And 4 days later, the tree died in the back of the van. So essentially I paid $1,200 for a tree. You got it?
How'd it go this year? Is it up and decorated?
So this year, same plan, go out there, blizzard hits us while we're out there. We got stuck in traffic. It takes an hour to get out there. It took us 5 hours to get back. The entire road was closed down. We were in two cars because we brought a friend along this time, and the tree was in the back of same van wasn't breaking down, but our friend's car, which had 500 miles on it, brand new Kia, and broke down the side of the road. Then to fit her and her dog, we had to then throw the fucking tree out on the side of the highway to fit her in there, and then drove home. And I said, I am never going back here again. And I went back to Home Depot again for the second year. That's the story.
Okay. This is going to sound kind of well, first of all, Merry Christmas. I'm glad everything worked out and nobody is dead other than the tree sitting in a ditch on the Colorado mountain somewhere. And I know that you're a fan of Julian Gill's work, and he's been a wonderful guest on our show.
So for those that aren't aware, he is the admin of Kiss FAQ.
You're like the Julian Gill of cutting down trees. You know, he has had such tragic luck with Kiss, and I'm talking big purchase items. Like, I don't know if you recall, but Gene Simmons spelled his name wrong on the Gene Simmons vault that he paid a couple grand for.
What did he use a G or something? Like
he used
Jillian?
E-N, not A-N at the end there. I know he had some books destroyed in transit to the Nashville Expo by the airline. He is personally responsible for Paul and Bob Ezrin having a falling out over the Odyssey book. I mean, that's kind of cursed, don't you think? Vinny postponed his dates, and I think he was able to recoup some of his airline money, but lost the hotel deposit or something. He missed out on getting end of the road tickets because the Wi-Fi wasn't working at the hotel. He bought that. Remember that Kiss Road case with all the records in it? His showed up like missing like five or six records. Like I said, it's a very loose tie-in, but God bless Julian Gill for continuing. He's kind of like that guy in the Monty Python movie. It's like only a flesh wound. He just kind of keeps carrying on. So
just crawling with using his lips to move around. That's all he's got left.
So deep.
All right, Baco, so let's talk about greatest misses, some anticipated albums from artists that we like that just didn't hit the mark.
The biggest one for me, and you might even share in this one, was Red Sun Rising. I didn't really care for the new record that much. I know we featured a couple tracks here and there, but for the most part, I think the problem was what I thought they were and what they were trying to be were two different things. And that's okay. It's just they're still a good band, but the record just, it didn't rock like I wanted it to.
Well, it also is very, it's hard to remember a lot of the songs. Like I went back like four times and I was like, I'm looking at this title. I cannot recall how the song goes.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I've listened to the Donny V record probably three times total, and I can already kind of recall how the songs go in my head, at least, you know, the ones I liked. And that record, yeah, I need almost like a boost to remind me what it is.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you look at a track listing of an album and you have to scratch your head like a monkey thinking, how does this song go? That's a bad sign. And that was not the case last time. I agree and don't agree with the whole thing about what you thought they were. I guess that's valid, but I don't think they know what they are yet. You know what I mean? Like it was a little scattershot the last album too.
Well, the first record is what it is, and a lot of time that isn't always exactly where a band is going to go from that point. You know, but they definitely turned into more of a songwriter kind of developing thing. There's a lot more color in what they do as far as imagery. You know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. They seem to want to be more of almost a lighter rock band than they do want to be. Because they are a kick-ass heavy rock band, but even their stage presence was kind of toned down a little bit this year.
They sounded great.
Absolutely. Again,
okay.
Phenomenal band. This is not a bad record. These aren't bad songs. I would just say it's kind of boring. It's just...
Yes. It starts off kind of slow, weird opener, but there are some great tracks on it, like Death Wish. Life is fading by the slow. It tunes us to the wave. It feeds me to the bone. And it's all right. Unless you feel you're too late. Life is fading to the sea. I'm making up your mind. So damn it to the wave. And it's all right. Unless you feel you're too late.
In a world that looks for a fight, got a death wish closing our eyes.
How about you? I mean, we agree on that one, but I know you definitely got to have more to say on this topic.
You know, I can kind of summarize it this way. I have this summer playlist that has like 1,000+ songs on it. And sometime when I was in the backyard doing some gardening, as I do, I had my pruning shears in hand and everything. Yes. And I was working on the daffodils, and all of a sudden I heard this song by Led Zeppelin that I could not place. It was spectacular. I was like, is this on the box set? Is this, I can't remember the song, but I put it on here. And I all of a sudden realized it was Highway Tune by Greta Van Fleet. And no joke.
I actually heard the song knowing it was them before it started getting played on the radio. But I duped a couple different people. I was like, have you ever heard this Zeppelin tune before? I'm like, no. Okay. You know, so I know it. Yeah, it's very believable.
Yeah, and you know, very talented musicians, young, all that kind of stuff. But the main thing is that even though the production is Zeppelin-y, but, you know, I like the EP, though. Then they expanded it, and then finally they came out with a full album. And, boy, this one, it just... I just don't get it. It's kind of like the coda or the in through the outdoor. This is basically the hot dog, if you want to pick a terrible Led Zeppelin song, of Zeppelin. But I just don't get it. Like, how far are you going to push that? I was hoping that they would just change it and be more just classic rock in general.
I think a lot of people are being a little unfair with their hatred for these guys. I kind of get it because of how redundant they are from Led Zeppelin. But these are very young guys. And especially when that song you talk about, that Highway song came out, one of them was still in high school. And it's also three brothers, which always creeps me out. And I'm sure they probably grew up listening to their parents' records. And I'm guessing they got a little bit of stage parents kind of push them in one direction.
Hold on, though. You're saying that they listened to their parents' records. Did they only own Led Zeppelin? They had nothing else?
Well, look, this, if it weren't for the singer's voice, we could probably find other elements of other bands. But we focus so much on that because of the way he basically sounds exactly like Robert Plant. But once they got picked up and they got a little bit of steam, the management, you know, just kind of pushed them in one direction. And I feel bad in a certain sense because I really don't think they're ever going to be allowed to develop on their own as people. They're already out there too much. You know what I mean? They played like an 8,000 place here and it sold out.
Yeah, they're a mystery to me a little bit. The same thing here. They sold two nights out at 4,000 seater. In town here. I guess
apparently, you know, 8,000 is their max.
Yeah, that's the math. That is true. But yeah, just in general, like, you know, is this the only way that a straight up rock band can be famous is by sounding exactly like another band? It's just an odd thing.
I would rather that these guys didn't hit so quick and they also like separated and made friends and formed three bands instead of one band with three brothers. It just seems weird.
That's a lot of expectation you want. So you think they should split up and there should be a Greta, a Van, and a Fleet?
well, enjoy.
So as we continue our not that bad episode, what do you think about Goodbye June? One of your highlights from 1 or 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, I love them live more than I actually like listening to that record, but the record wasn't bad. And they have a new – you told me there's a new record out this year, right? I haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's an EP, and they went straight up Greta Van Fleet and again made bad Led Zeppelin songs. It was a real shame because I really – they had a – I don't know if it's unique, but just kind of like a classic – sound like a Black Crowes or I don't know. Just they were just straight up and they definitely jumped the shark on this one.
Oh, quick side tangent. Are you a fan of the EP movement?
I am. I have to say here's the version of the EP movement I like. If you're throwing out an EP in between, kind of like an Alice in Chains and doing something different, basically the opposite of why don't you summarize the Hailstorm model.
That's right. They had an album, got some success. Then they did a live album of that entire album. And then, then an EP of covers. Then a new studio record followed by, you guessed it, an EP of covers. And then a studio album. Maybe they did another EP of covers. I don't remember. But it was like in 5 years, you got like 5 records of product, but you got a live album covering the one entire record and 2 EPs of covers included in that five.
It's like the shitty version of the Alice in Chains model.
Exactly. And it definitely was not their idea. And didn't it seem more like when Alice in Chains came out with Sap, they just kind of threw it out there because they thought it was cool. It got no promotion or anything like that. It was just kind of tossed out there like, this is kind of fun. Me and us and our buddies, we pressed record and then we went and did a studio album while you guys bought this.
Alice in Chains, did you hear Rainer? Talk about no promotion. Did that one sneak up on you? Because all of a sudden,
we talked about it. I was like, we were at Target buying like milk and Rubbermaid tubs. And then, like, is that an Alice in Chains record? Apparently, it had been out for like a month.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if you pronounce it. Apparently, it's a mountain in
Mount Rainier.
Oh, I don't even know it. I'm not very good at geography.
The beer Rainier is named after that mountain.
See? Facts, people. Enjoy them. But yeah, I mean that
Tallest
one was
mountain in Canada.
What were your impressions on the album? Enough. What were your impressions on the album overall?
I liked it.
Okay, for me it was kind of a the songs that I loved were the ones that were like Sap and Jar of Flies. Those are the standouts for me. The ones that were rockers weren't as highlights. But the great thing about that album is they had feel they should have done EP because there's like 4 or 5 tracks on it that are straight up Jar of Flies style.
I disagree with you a little bit on the way you describe them. I think they're a little more rocky than Jar of Flies, but I kind of get where you're coming from, so I might be splitting hairs there.
Will you agree that the harmonizing with William Duvall and Cantrell on this album is fantastic?
Absolutely. Drink.
Long gone the days of summer. In LA, it stretches longer, waiting, waiting. Try to heal, but the pain it won't go. Start with less, always seems to cost more. Breaking, then the come decide.
even though I got a dog in this fight.
Baco, at some point you enjoyed a Shinedown song. Yes?
I did. Oh, I'm not a hater. No.
Yeah. You've seen them live, you just found them a little boring, but they sounded great, right?
Yeah, the singer is not the most charismatic guy. Although no. I've seen him better than other times. But again, like one of those once in a generation type of singers, just an amazing voice, and yeah, pretty good band.
Yeah, Shinedown put out an album this year, and it was, first off, the amusing thing is every single from the title of it to every single track was in all caps. And you know how I love the punctuation on albums, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, all caps. It was basically screaming at you. And, you know, what it sounds like is if somebody, some executive wanted to make a rock album that was really into EDM or wanted a soundtrack at CrossFit, which the lead singer is a huge fan of. It was just there's portions of greatness on it that are just overproduced. So it's the third album in a row that's just a steaming turd in my opinion. And I love the singer.
I really liked their earlier stuff when it was really rocking. We both love that Fly From the Inside tune, but like 45 is a great song. I Got a Candle. What's that song? I got a candle. I got a spoon.
Save Me, maybe?
Save Me, yes. That song's a great tune. Yep. They got a bunch of them. The Sound of Madness is a good song.
Oh, that's a great tune. Yeah, I mean,
so, no, they got some good rockers. And you know what? When you go see them, they don't like act like those songs don't exist.
Right.
As these new kind of radio hits are playing for them. But, you know, kind of like we were talking about with Red Sun, maybe what I want them to be just isn't who they are.
Yeah, but they are consistently paired with just the most odd co-headliners. Last year it was Shinedown and Five Finger Death Punch, or Five Finger Durst Punch is what I like to refer to them as.
Ah, I love those guys.
But does that make any sense, that pairing? It's like guys,
it's like
that show
lines
up
on a chalk. It's like chalk lines on the ground.
It's like half the crowd is wearing sweatpants and what they wore to Target on Sunday morning after doing a jog.
Fuck you, and the other half's got like skinny jeans.
That's what I mean. It's just a weird pairing. But I, from conversation, I understand that there is a certain song by Five Finger Death Punch that you didn't hate this year.
Surprisingly, and not only that, Luce, it was a cover.
You hate covers. It's a twofer. Oh, you know what it is? It's a double negative makes a positive.
Oh, yes. There we go. I have to admit, the first time I heard it, it was like it was a cover and it was Five Finger Death Punch. So my immediate reaction, my core was like, hate it, sucks.
Yes.
But I heard it a few times and I really don't mind that cover they did of the Offspring song Gone Away.
I could find you there, pulled away before your time. I can't deal, it's so unfair, and it feels like heaven so far away, and it feels like the world has grown cold now that you've gone away. And Hail Mary.
You know, right before we started recording, you were giving me some advice as a professional, both artist and podcaster, and you asked me if I could hear myself in my headphones. Isn't that correct?
Yes, and of course you can't.
No, because I like to have a conversation like a normal human, and I was thinking to myself.
Let me ask you this, while you're being so smug there. Do you even have the capability to do what I'm asking?
Of course I can. I select not to.
Okay. Well, when you have technical issues that involve your mic not working, it might help. Anyway, okay. Carry on.
I know you're trying to blame me for this, but my point is, I imagine, you know, you're a lead singer of a band. You got a little bit of lead singer disease, I believe. And I think that in Baco's perfect world, that you would like to have harmonized like Paul Stanley on Live 2, constant Baco, hearing yourself perfectly in your ears as you speak. Yes?
You paint a beautiful picture. That sounds amazing to me.
I mean, this is a guy
it's like
that,
Utopia.
Just so you know, at least 50 listens per episode come from you. Listen to your own voice afterwards.
You said it's only unique hits.
I don't think so. I think you're pumping them up. But you love your voice. You want to hear it while you're recording. You want to hear it after you're recording. You are the Gene Simmons of podcasters.
I don't know where you're going with this. This is the professional way people record.
I don't know. I'll tell you what.
You're not wrong about me loving the sound of my own voice.
I know, but I'm going to ask other podcasters, comment on our Facebook page. If you are a podcaster listening to this, do you listen to yourself talk on the mic, or do you have a normal conversation and listen to yourself later? Let me know, people. But what do you got next? What was your biggest miss, your biggest fail, your shocker, where you actually thought you might be getting punked of the year?
Oh, boy, it has to be Wilson, doesn't it?
It does. Why don't you recap Wilson for those that are not that familiar with a band with a silly name?
Well, a band you turned me on to, Bubble Flex. I was interviewing Marty from that, and after the interview, he mentioned that I should check those guys out. Oddly enough, about a day later, that their record showed up in my email for Decibel Geek as like, hey, would you like to check this record out and review it? And it was amazing. It was Right to Rise record. So then I checked out they had one record before that, Full Blast Fuckery, and I love both records. They're just a great, high-energy, fun, positive, just rock metal band, right?
Guys like to have a lot of fun. They're out from Detroit, great live shows, I understand. I've never seen them.
Yeah, an amazing live. They were the whole band was tight as fuck, and they were just a blast to see. And they went away for about 2 years, and they come out with this record called Tasty Nasty, and they're basically Smash Mouth with a little bit of, I don't know, Eminem and...
Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Bad Kid Rock.
I grew up on Obi-Wan, Invader Sun, sipping on grape Kool-Aid. I like smoking grass and grabbing ass was my middle name. I was barely legal when I first got laid. I had a fake ID when I was in 11th grade.
And it was like, what the fuck happened? People who listened to the show heard my interview with him. That was a pretty, the singer Chad, I should say.
Yeah.
And I've actually interviewed him, I think, 4 times now, and that was a very difficult interview for me because I wanted to stay positive and keep a good relationship, but at the same time balance my own personal credibility. I'm like, I can't. So if you listen to it, you can actually hear it, I think, if you know that. It actually pains me to kind of softball some of this shit just because I had a good relationship with the guy. But
you sat. Can I tell you how it sounded when you were talking to him? It sounded like you were sitting down an employee to do a write up for him for bad performance.
Yeah. Well, I'm explaining why he doesn't get a raise.
I like smoking grass and grabbing ass was my middle name.
I know. He's getting demoted on the Cobras and Fire show.
Oh, my God. But again, maybe another band that, you know, well, I'm sorry, but this is not who they are. This is a total cash grab. I stand by that. This is just, you don't go from this is not a natural progression. I don't care how much acid you microdosed. You don't go from that band to this band. They might as well have just rebranded the whole thing because they didn't do anything that validated their past. This is not the Black Album after Injustice for All. This is Carly Simon, or Anthrax doing a Carly Simon type record.
And to that end, they are now opening an entire tour for Steel Panther. So that confirms they're a joke band. I mean, they should have just rebranded themselves another The Band and called themselves The Douches.
I'm on board.
What's up, ween bags? Tesco V here, the Dutch Hercules, the DJ, his bad self. It's 7 rock and roll degrees on WLSN, right here in the Motor City. Next up to warm the cockles of your black little hearts, it's a new one from our very own Wilson. Dicks up, windows down, and here comes that sweet, sweet fuckery sound.
We should probably mention Loose, one of the bigger bands that we're both a fan of, that had a pretty decent record as far as a comeback. And we both actually got to see them live for free.
We did, yes. And that involved, also segued into, hey, a great side conversation, right?
Yeah, it sure did.
Because I'm the Fonz. Huh? Hey.
So we'll leave that part alone, but Firepower by Judas Priest, I thought, was better than I think I talked about it at the time.
I agree. At first, I thought it was kind of like a sonic boom ish Judas Priest album where they're just kind of copying the same format, throwing down
a little
down
bit.
More.
Songs are better though.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, much better produced record than Sonic Boom was.
Of course. Well, and yes, anything is. But essentially, I'm pretty sure Chris Holmes' latest album is better produced than Sonic Boom. But going into this more, I mean, it was, you know, Rob dropped the thesaurus words out and all that kind of stuff. But in short, my rating of this is just not that bad. Live, still a ferocious animal, a very sweaty, bald animal.
A little slower animal, but it was still a great show.
Yeah, and that was my first time seeing him. What was the last time you've seen him?
Prior to that, it was the Epitaph tour where they did the entire British Steel record.
Yeah, would you rate Halford's efforts vocal-wise, not his stage presence, but equal or greater? Or
I put them both equal. I mean, I don't think he's. I mean, he wasn't, you know, running around the stage thin either. but no, it was. I thought both shows were great.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to hear British Steel all the way through. So much to the chagrin of me, that wasn't the best set list for me. Much better set list on this tour.
Yeah, and also my Judas Priest fandom as a result increased and inspired me to propose us doing an entire episode on Defenders of the Faith.
Yeah.
So check that out in the archive. That's a lot of fun.
One of my favorite records of theirs.
Can we honor those that have left this earth this year in the music industry?
Gone but not forgotten, Lewis. Yeah, I have a tiny list. I mean, there's been a lot of people, probably not all related to hard rock and metal, and maybe some of these aren't exactly hard rock and metal, but I think these are important losses in the music industry that in some way at least tie to our show.
Sure. I think the first one we should mention is George Bush.
George Bush, yes. I think I saw you at the funeral.
Yes, and the reason
right
I said that...
behind Ivanka.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of his favorite artists was the guy from Hee Haw that passed.
Yeah, Roy Clark.
Yeah, I mean, guy can kill a banjo, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he played banjo, but I know him more for playing that, like, more of an acoustic thing next to the blonde guy with an acoustic thing.
See, I have very odd memories of Hee Haw. I don't remember why I watched it, but I remember that the intro. And what the fuck was that show all about, though? I'm just trying to...
It was a
country?
Variety show of country music. So country music musicians would come in, and then in between that, they would have very... I don't know. I call them townie skits, where they're dirty funny if you're like a lot older than us and have never been to a city with more than 10,000 people in it.
Anyway, this concludes the Hee Haw portion of the show.
All right, let me run through these real quick. From Jefferson Starship, we lost Marty Balin. Ed King from Lynyrd Skynyrd. There aren't many of them left. So if you have a Lynyrd Skynyrd, they're very valuable. Of course, we talked about it a little bit on our show, surprisingly. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, passed. Jill Janis from Huntress. I'm not super familiar with them, but I know they're metal. Vinnie Paul, we did a whole episode on.
Yes.
Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries. Eddie Clark, probably more in our cup of tea, Motorhead guitar player. He went on to, Fast Eddie Clark was, he started Fastway, right?
Mm-hmm. Trick or treat, baby.
Trick or treat. And I'm going to nail this, Luce. Mikio Fujioka from Baby Metal. One of my favorite bands that didn't perform a single note of music while they performed on stage. If you love hearing pre-recorded music, go out and see Kiss and on this end of the road tour, and make sure you catch Baby Metal at every one of their fucking shows.
I think it's a great opener. I think they finally found the opener.
Yes. Baby, yeah. You won't have to plug anything in.
That's right. Yeah, just hit play.
Yeah.
The sound guy, all he has is a disc man.
Oh, my God. I would like to say, Luce, 2018 has really been a banner year for Cobras and Fire, as you know. Our numbers have been, you know, fantastic week to week, just, you know, a nice steady climb. I want to thank everybody who listens and interacts with us on social media. Keep it up. Keep busting our balls. Keep coming at us. Thank you very much. And, of course, Luce, thank you.
All right, Baco. Well, thanks for that list of death. By the way, did I don't know if I missed it. Did a beetle die this year?
No, that we still have two Beatles left.
Good.
Rock's not dead.
But Ringo's next.
As good to me, you know she's happy as
You ready?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. You taking a piss?
Nope.
Okay.
Taking a selfie. Okay. Ready to go.
Did not take a selfie.
I did.
Wow.
You're going to see it soon.
You ready?
I'm literally wearing a Bieber shirt. I'm going to post it. Yeah, I'm ready. Okay.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.